For our listening audience, the text that was read, primary text that was read during our Christmas Eve service was Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It was broken up into segments, and we would sing Christmas carols in between those segments. But what follows is the homily based on that text. Every time I hear those familiar words from the second chapter of Luke, I'm reminded of one of my family's Christmas traditions. Every Christmas Eve, my parents and my brother and sister and I would gather together in our family room and listen while one of us read Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20 aloud. The church that we attended growing up did not have a Christmas Eve service, and so I think that this was my parents' way of attempting to remind us of the real meaning of Christmas, which we did have a tendency to forget sometimes. And now that we're all grown and we have families of our own, we rarely get together anymore on Christmas Eve, but I'm sure if we did, my dad would still want to read Luke 2, 1 through 20. In spite of the fact that by that time I would have led two Christmas Eve services and heard it read at least twice, he would want to, for the simple reason that it is one of our family's traditions. Now, every family has certain traditions when it comes to celebrating Christmas, many of which are unique to them. You know, as a child, I naively assumed that everyone celebrated Christmas the exact same way that we did. But as I got older and I realized, you know, that that just wasn't true, and it became especially obvious when I got married. And I'm not talking about, you know, differences between my family and a family in some faraway country. I'm talking about differences between my family and the family next door. I mean, no two families have the exact same traditions. It's not only in regard to our traditions that we differ. Another example are the ways in which we respond to the story of Christmas and the emotions that we experience this time of year. I mean, just think about the wide variety of Christmas carols that have been written, many of which we just sang together, songs that are loud and upbeat and cheerful, like Go Tell It on the Mountain, and songs that are quiet and slow and somber, like Silent Night, which we'll sing in just a few moments. Or we can look at the stark contrast presented to us in the gospel text between the way the shepherds reacted to Jesus' birth and how Mary, the mother of Jesus, responded. The shepherds almost seemed to be riding an emotional roller coaster. I mean, they were terrified when the angels first appeared, and then they ran excitedly to see the Savior of which he had spoken. And then after seeing baby Jesus, they eagerly shared the angel's announcement with anyone and everyone who would listen. And then finally, when they returned to their flocks, they did so glorifying and praising God. But look at Mary. I mean, what does she do? Well, according to Luke, she treasured the angel's words and pondered them in her heart. Pondered. Well, that's a very different reaction than loud, enthusiastic praise. And they're two very different pictures of how different individuals responded to the very same event. And yet neither is presented as any less valid or somehow inappropriate. I mean, which response most closely resembles your own this year? Are you more like a shepherd? Are you bubbling over with excitement? I imagine many of your children are, as you're thinking about tomorrow morning and all those gifts under the tree. Are you more like Mary? Are you being quiet and reflective? Are you just kind of in awe of the whole thing and the mystery of it all? Or are you somewhere in the middle? Or are you in an entirely different ballpark? I imagine that for some of you here tonight, the Christmas season has invoked feelings of sadness as you're mourning the loss of a loved one. Maybe this is the very first Christmas where they won't be physically or mentally present to celebrate with. Or maybe you're just missing family members. They're still living, but for one reason or another, they won't make it home for Christmas this year. I imagine that for someone else here tonight, this Christmas season finds you feeling overwhelmed with all the suffering and the sadness in the world that seems to be so at odds with all that we've been singing and reading about this evening. And you're just desperately longing for Jesus to return, finish what he started. If you have figured out how you would characterize your response to Christmas this year, then I have another question for you. Is your answer to that question this year identical to the way you would have answered that question last year, or the year before that, or even 10 or 20 or 30 years ago? Well, I would guess not. As we grow and mature and as life happens, we experience Christmas differently. Now, yesterday I shared with you how Christmas used to be a time of disappointment for me because my hope was in the wrong place. And now as a pastor and as a father, Christmas is stressful and it's tiring and it's exciting and joyful all at the same time. The attitudes and the emotions that Christmas invokes in each of us are as unique as we are. And they will most certainly change from year to year as we change, as our life circumstances change, and as God changes us. But the one thing God calls each one of us to do every Christmas, the one response He's looking for in all of us, is that like the shepherds and the angels and even Mary in her own way, we witness to the birth of Jesus, that we point to where He may be found in the work that God is doing in the world, and in the work that God is doing in us. If we're feeling like the shepherds, we tell the world that Jesus is the reason we are so excited. If we're feeling like Mary, we tell the world that Jesus is the reason that we're being quiet and reflective. If we're feeling scared or anxious or confused, we tell the world that Jesus is our peace. If we're feeling sad or in mourning, we tell the world that Jesus is our comfort. If we're feeling discouraged or overwhelmed by the current state of affairs, whether it be in our own lives or in the world, we tell the world that Jesus is our hope. If we're feeling as if we're being enveloped by the darkness, we tell the world that Jesus is our light. No matter how we're feeling, we make it known to all that Jesus gives us joy this season. Of course, we can't do this on our own strength. God knows this, and so He fills us with His Holy Spirit. He pours out His grace upon us. And one of the most profound ways that we receive His grace is through the sacrament of communion. As we partake of the symbols of Jesus' body that was given for us, and His blood which was shed for us, we are reminded why God sent His Son so many years ago, that it was for us and for our salvation. And as we partake of these things, they nourish us, to strengthen us, to be the people He's called us to testify to His presence in our lives and in the world. And at the same time, we're reminded of Jesus' promise to never leave us or forsake us, and one day to return and make His home among us. On this day, we, with all of His disciples, will eat this meal together with Him in His eternal kingdom. But no matter how you're feeling this Christmas, receive the gift of Jesus and show the world where they can find Him. Amen.